In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear faithful, there are two times during Lent where the church tries to give us a bit of a boost in order to encourage us in our Lenten practices. Of course, one of those times is 2 weeks from now on Laetare Sunday, which is about a little bit past the midway point of Lent. But another time is this Sunday, the second Sunday of Lent, where we're a quarter of the way, we finish 10 out of the 40 days of Lent at this point. And the church wants to give us a bit of a boost. The fact that the church wants to encourage us today tells us that we should already be feeling a little tired from our Lenten practices. We should be feeling our Lenten practices. God willing, we've made resolutions and we've been practicing them for these 10 days that have passed of Lent so far. And just like when you do a workout, you do a workout and you're not sore after the workout, then it's not really a workout. You can say, well, you've exercised, maybe done some exercise, but it's not really a workout unless you're kind of feeling it. And it's the same is true with our Lenten practices. Unless our will is feeling this exercise of self-denial during Lent, unless our fallen nature is kind of hurting from the mortifications we're imposing upon it, then we're not really doing Lent. God willing, you've made resolutions for Lent and you're finding them a little difficult. And for those who are in that situation, the church wants to tell you on this day, she wants to encourage you on this day to persevere, to keep going with these resolutions that you've made. For those of us who are already getting worn out, she wants to give us a second wind. So the church gives us encouragement in the same way that our Lord encouraged the apostles just before his crucifixion. She encourages us by giving us this transfiguration of our Lord. And it seems like she really wants us to think about this story from our Lord's life at this time because we have it as the gospel 2 days in a row. It was the gospel yesterday for Ember Saturday, and it's the gospel again today. This only happens one other time in the year, and that's during Advent, where you have Ember Saturday in Advent, and in the fourth Sunday of Advent have the same gospel. So this, we're meant to really reflect on this transfiguration so that we can gain strength in this race towards Easter in our Lenten practices. The transfiguration of our Lord is encouraging for us because it shows us the glory that will be ours once our life is finished, if we persevere to the end, if we persevere in carrying our cross, being faithful one day, we will enter this heavenly glory. One day, our body will shine like the sun. Our clothes will be white as snow, with the reflection of that heavenly glory that we bear. Just as when there's a contest, some sort of difficult competition, they show the competitors the prize that we will receive before the competition starts. They say, this is what you're going to get. You're going to get this gold medal, or you're going to get this special trophy that will be yours when this competition is over. So too for us. This is what our Lord wants to do. He says to us, you're striving right now. Guess what? This is the prize that you're going to receive when this life is over, if you compete well, if you gain the prize, if you win this contest, which is the contest of life, basically winning heaven, you will win heaven. So, too, for us, you know, a quarter of the way through the Lent, a certain percentage of the way through our life, we're all a different age, you know, we might be weary of our duty of state. We might be weary of our daily grind. We might be weary fighting against the world, the flesh, and the devil, living up to the standard of traditional Catholicism. And the church comes along and she says, guess what? Here's your prize. Here's the great prize that you're going to receive if you persevere. Keep going. Keep going, because the reward is extremely great. You say to yourself, we remind ourselves, if I persevere, I will have an eternal crown. I will participate in the glory of our Lord. I will be happy forever without any suffering. This vision of our Lord's glory that was given to these three apostles, three specially chosen apostles, had a great impact on St. Peter. When St. Peter writes his second epistle, he refers back to the transfiguration as a proof that our Lord is real. His glory is real, and what we're striving for is real. Here's what he says. We were not following fictitious tales when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we have been eyewitnesses of his grandeur, for he received from God the Father honor and glory, when from out the majestic glory a voice came down to him. And this voice we ourselves heard, born from heaven, when we were with him on the holy mount. The vision of our Lord's glory really happened. This story in the gospel really happened. Our Lord's glory is real. And this glory will be given to us. This is proof for us that this is the prize. But besides this fact, my dear faithful, I think we're also meant to draw some lessons from these two figures that appear next to our Lord in this transfiguration, Moses and Elias. What an incredible and astounding thing that these two figures are there. One of them who had died and one of them who was alive. Both of them very, very old people. Elias was a great prophet to the kings of Judah and was born around 900 BC. And after preaching and performing some astounding miracles, he famously did not die. But this chariot, this mysterious chariot, came and took him up into heaven. And because he did not die, the commentators on Scripture, they think that he's going to be one of these two witnesses that's mentioned in the book of the Apocalypse to come back at the end of the world. Everybody's expecting that Elias is going to come back and get martyred by the beast at the end of the world. So he is one of these figures that is there with our Lord. And as they say, while Elias was living at that time and is still living, you know, he's like thousands of years old by now, yet Moses died. You know that Moses, he was told by God, you cannot enter the promised land because he doubted the power of God. He was only allowed to see the promised land from Mount Nebo in the current country of Jordan and look at the promised land. And then he died. And St. Jude, in his epistle, he talks about this mysterious battle between St. Michael and the devil over the body of Moses. He says, St. Michael and the devil were wrestling for the body of Moses, so that St. Michael wanted to hide the body of Moses so he would not be worshipped as a god by the Israelites. So Moses definitely died, but Moses was born around 1500 BC. So he'd been dead around 1500 years by the time of the transfiguration. And there he is with our Lord. He's there talking with our Lord. And the fact that these two ancient figures, one dead and one alive, are talking with our Lord is a reminder to ourselves of something very basic, but something that's obviously true. And this is that we are immortal. We will live forever. Even though we die, we will always live. We have an immortal soul. And so we will last forever, forever and ever. And so this life is but a short time in comparison with that eternal life. We come into existence, we live this short life, but life keeps going. It keeps going after we die. And it goes on and on and on for eternity. So when we see these great figures appear, when they've lived for many centuries, we are encouraged by the fact that they are with our Lord. After all these centuries, they're talking with him. They're friends of our Lord. What a blessing for them to be friends of God. And we understand that this friendship, if we maintain this friendship with God, that friendship will never be broken. What a blessed thing to be speaking with God after thousands of years, after you've lived for thousands of years. That's what Moses and Elias are doing. They're friends of God. And that friendship with God that they have will never be broken. They will always be in the company of God. They will never lose that friendship because of their fidelity to God. This is a great encouragement to us, as I say. If I remain faithful to God in this life, if I persevere in serving God in this life, in this short time, I will be the friend of God forever. What a blessed thing it will be to be in the company of God, to be always in the company of God, to be conversing with God for all eternity. There's something else that I think should console us from this story. And this is the strange thing that the apostles recognize Moses and Elias. Like, how do they know it's Moses and Elias? I mean, was Moses holding the Ten Commandments? Or was it like there's horns of light coming from his head, like in the book of Exodus? How did they know it was Moses? I mean, did they have like a holy card of Moses and Elias? It's like that's what they look like, and so they're able to identify them. Again, this encourages us because we learn that in the afterlife, we will know one another. Those who save their souls, our family members, the parishioners of St. Isidore's, we will be reunited. Even before we received our bodies back, we will be recognizable to one another. We will be able to converse with one another. And this will be very blessed indeed. So we are shown in this vision something of the afterlife. And it's a great incentive to us, hopefully, to persevere where we are right now in this moment in Lent. Father Alfonso Rodriguez, in his wonderful work, The Practice of Christian Perfection, he explains that one of the very best ways to make acts of mortification sweet and easy is precisely to think about the hope of a future reward. This idea that we're going to receive a great reward for our Lenten practices. He points out that, again, this life here below is just a short period of 70 or 80 years. And for just 70 or 80 years of struggle, you get a disproportionate reward. You get a reward that's way beyond what you've done. Think about somebody saying, you just run a mile around this track and will you get $1 million? Like, wow, that's incredible. That seems so easy. Of course I'm going to do that. So you just live 70 or 80 years of fidelity to God and you get an eternity of heaven. You get an infinite reward for a very, very finite gift to God. And so this is meant to inspire us to get as much of a reward as possible, to really strive during this life to get that reward, to strive for that reward, because that's the only reward that matters in the end. He tells the story of Saint Mechtilda. She had a vision of the glory of heaven. Our Lord gave her a vision of the glory of heaven, and she heard the voices of the saints speaking to her in this vision. And they said, "Oh, thrice happy you who still live in the world and whose power it is to augment your glory at every moment. Did but man know how much he might increase his merit every day, he would never wake without a cheerful heart, replenished with joy, to think that he is to begin another day in which, living to God, he may be assisted by his divine grace every moment to advance his honor and his own merit. So, my dear faithful, let us remember today that we have a very, very great reward awaiting us after this life is over, if only we remain faithful during this time. So let us inspire ourselves with this thought, especially as we're a quarter of the way through Lent. Let us really renew our desires to be faithful to these mortifications we've chosen, persevere in them, because our reward will be very great indeed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.